Yeah, thank you.
Talking about the Navy generation, I heard yesterday, you know, we're talking about the Gen X and the Gen Zs and how do you connect with them and how they think, et cetera. The new generation's coming up and they're calling it double A.
Double A?
It's the double A's.
Like batteries? Or?
Well, no, because they went to the XYZ.
Yeah.
And now they're starting.
Well, I heard it's called the Alpha Generation, is what I heard.
Yeah, but it's, they're calling it double A.
Interesting.
I bet AA will like that.
Well, welcome everybody. This is our foundation class. We got a couple new folks. We got Connor. He's the free off son, and Caleb's here for the first time. Have you been in here before, Connor? Okay. Have you? Okay. I think I do remember that. I apologize. But so welcome back. And so we've been studying through the book of Revelation, and most of you know that Iran was attacked yesterday by Israel and the United States. I think Israel sent 200 planes and they had 500 targets, and anyway, they took out the supreme leader. I can't pronounce his name very good.
Ayatollah. He was the first one. It's Ali.
Anyway, I think they took out 40 of their leaders, so they're hoping for a regime change. One thing I thought I would do, I've got a 30-minute video on Iran, but I mean, it's really nothing about present-day Iran, but I think I'll probably play that next week. I thought this would be kind of fitting. Some of us may not know geographically where it's at. And so this is, it's just a good history of Iran. So I think I'll play that next week for us. So if you can be here, it's a 30-minute video, and then we'll fill the time with questions or the remaining of Revelation 16. So do turn to Revelation 16. And we're talking about this picture on the screen says seven bowls, but our King James Bible says vials. And I brought in these little vials from work, and we went through four of them last week. So I got four empty vials over here, and we kind of use this as a illustration to show this. I don't know if you probably can't see this little list here. We got seven vials, and so this is what I think of when I think of a vial. These are just from my work, and I wanted to rehearse these first four before we talk. We're only going to talk about two, so we'll try to finish Revelation 16 next week. But in verse 2 of chapter 16 of Revelation, let me make sure my speaker's on here. So I'm recording. So we do record on Facebook, so we're live streaming. We do have a couple people that do watch. I know our sister Dottie almost always watches, and then sometimes we have some others. And then we also audio record, so you can pull it up on our website. I think on Mondays, Brianna loads this recorder, and so... what's funny is if you go onto our website, don't click on the listen button. You have to go to podcast. So if you ever want to catch any of our series, you can listen to it on our church website under podcast. So Revelation 16:2. These seven vials are full of plagues, chapter 15 said, but verse 2 of 16 says, and the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a sorsome and grievous, a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And so there, this first vial was a noisome and grievous sore. And you picture having several boils on your body, but it's interesting to note that it's this word is singular. It may just be one sore. And so people that had the mark of the beast, it's kind of interesting. Most people will take the mark of the beast so that they can buy and sell, right? There's going to be famine, there's going to be drought, there's going to be all these things. So they take the mark of the beast to have some level of comfort so they can buy and sell. And now God gives them this mark, which is noisome. It's very irritating. It's annoying. And I think there's even a connotation of smell. There's a stench to it. And so that's kind of interesting. And then in verse 3, just rehearsing these from last week, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man. And so it wasn't blood, but it was as blood. I put on your notes that 70% of the earth is water. And we kind of know that. It's getting hot in here. I'm sorry. I got to turn it down just a little bit.
It's just right. It is hot.
So, there, it shut off. And so it's interesting that also our bodies are about 70% water. So I had you put the word bodies in your first blank if you want to take notes. We use a purple today. So I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, God made man out of the dust of the earth, and the earth is 70% water, and so is our bodies. That's kind of interesting. And then this third vial in verse 4, it says, and the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. And so, of the earth 70% of water, 97% of water is in the ocean. It's salt water. And so, 2% of the earth's water is frozen in glaciers around the North Pole and Antarctica. And so only 1% of the earth's water is, fresh water. It's drinkable, like in rivers and ponds and streams and wells. And so that percentage of the earth's water does become blood here, it says. And we reference that to the, if you look at the little chart at the top of your, we compared the seven vials to the seven trumpets, and the third vial there, the rivers become blood. The trumpets, this wormwood causes water to become bitter. So I don't know if people get so thirsty they actually try to drink blood here, and I'm sure you can maybe live off that for a short time if you had to. So that was kind of interesting. And then verses 8 and 9 of chapter 16, this fourth vial was poured upon the sun. It says, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Wow. And so we ended our time with this fourth vial about pouring out on the men were scorched with the sun. And we don't know if that's a sun flare that they say that some sun flares can, what is the EMP or the
electromagnetic pulse,
and so there could be a lot of ramifications of all this. Some think it could be nuclear, you know, explosions. It causes, you know, holes in the ozone layer, and it allows ultraviolet light to get through. And so even in my industry, you know, Jim talked about his business, but I work in refrigeration, and so we talk about ozone depleting compounds. So refrigerants, you know, have changed over the years so they don't deplete the ozone. You know, our cans of aerosol sprays are different, so they don't. And the other kind of buzzword in my industry is global warming, a GW factor. So they want refrigerants like carbon dioxide, I think, is kind of the reference point, because it has a 1 like it doesn't deplete, it doesn't cause global warming at all. You know, trees produce global or carbon dioxide just like our bodies. And so, anyway, the better the refrigerants are, the lower GW numbers. And but I thought I would this thing about the sun. I thought I would show you if I can find it here. You know, this could be some type of God's judgment of sun worship. You know, even in God caused darkness as one of the plagues in Egypt. So here's a little hieroglyphic of somebody worshiping the sun, and we even have a day of the week called Sunday, right? This kind of has a pagan connotation to the Bible calls it the first day of the week. And we know even the Catholics have a certain level of sun worship in their Mass. And you'll see altars with this starburst, this sun. And I guess what we seen last week was God was righteous in His judgment. He was judging man and judging, giving them blood to drink because they had shed blood, right? They had shed the blood of the prophets. And so God gave them blood to drink. You're a bloodthirsty people. You've killed all the prophets and the saints. And so here's some blood to drink. Well, you've been worshiping the sun, so I'm going to scorch you with the sun. I'm going to cause this heat. So these judgments are righteous. And I put in your teaching point here that just to note that Revelation 15:1 says that these vials are full of the last plagues. These so we're right at the end of the tribulation. So God is pouring out these last plagues on planet Earth. And so now today we're going to get into two more of these plagues. And somebody read for us verse 10 and 11 of chapter 16.
And the fifth angel poured unto his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and all their tongues were banned. And blasphemy the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds.
So again, we find that they repented not. And these also blasphemed, and I think we see that even, if we go all down to the verse 21, the very last verse, Cheryl, would you read that also?
And there fell upon men a great hail of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent, and men blasphemed God because of his trust of the plague of the hail, for the plague therefore was exceeding great.
Yeah, so a couple times here they don't repent, and instead they blaspheme. And we talked about repentance a lot last week. That was kind of my devotional point of this. And so it's a condition of our heart. God is trying to bring about repentance, and it comes through this godly sorrow. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. And so so in verse 10 that Cheryl read, what was the result of this vial that was poured out?
Their tongues for pain.
Yeah, they was in pain. And what did it cause on the earth?
Full of darkness.
Yeah, it was darkness. And one thing I wanted, if you look at your handout, I gave you some verses here from Joel chapter 2, and it's amazing how accurate these prophecies are. But on your handout it says, "Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh." And look at this, "For it is nigh at hand, a day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. And what was so interesting to me is that not only here in Joel, but also in Exodus 10, the plague of darkness on Egypt, it called it thick darkness. And so I had you put, just like in Joel, it has the word thick. And a couple places it uses the word mist. A mist of darkness, like you could feel it. And I don't know if you've ever been in a cave, but it's just so extreme dark that you can just feel how heavy it is.
Coal mines.
What's that?
Coal mines. My parents were doing.
Oh, really?
Coal mines, and it's like.
Yeah, it's just. And so. Now it mentions here, like on this picture, this actually used the word throne of the beast. I think our King James has seat, doesn't it? In verse 10, yeah, the seat of the beast. And if you remember when we studied Revelation 2 about Pergamos, It doesn't say seat of the beast, it calls it Satan's seat. And so Satan's seat was in Pergamos, and we talked about that quite a bit back when we talked in Revelation 2. But in 2 Thessalonians 2, where does it say that the Antichrist sits down at? Do you remember? He sits in the temple. And so I really believe that this vial is poured out upon Jerusalem. Because that's where the man of sin is revealed. It says that he sits down as God in the temple of God, showing himself as God. So he's trying to make himself as God, just like Lucifer did back in Isaiah 14. And like Cheryl said, this darkness that followed the heat of the sun, it irritates the sores and causes more pain, which in turn causes followers of the beast to gnaw their tongues and blaspheme God. And this is my teaching point. There is kind of a little bit skeptical, or not skeptical, speculation, is that while the beast kingdom is dark, could it be that the remnant, God's people, have light like they did in Israel or back in Egypt? Do you remember that? Whenever Moses, the plague of darkness fell on Egypt, it says God's people had light. And so that's kind of cool, isn't it? I like to think of it that that's probably what happens here when the vial, this fifth vial, is poured out. And I didn't do that symbolically today, but yeah, could you imagine pouring out a vial? And there's nothing, these are all brand new. But can you imagine pouring that out and things go dark? I mean, that's pretty wild, isn't it?
Very wild.
And but that is what happens. And so that is the fifth vial, and this throne of the beast, maybe he sits, that'd be pretty wild. You know, that's when he goes from this man of peace to becoming the son of perdition. And that's the abomination of desolation. That's when Daniel says that the remnant should flee to the mountains and don't go down in the house, don't get an extra set of clothes. You flee, and you know, pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath day. And so we don't know if they go directly to Petra, but there's a remnant that is saved through that. And my second point here, this is just something I was thinking as I was studying this. You know, in the days of Lot, you remember when the men of of Sodom were trying to come into Lot's house, and they wanted to know the men, that the two angels that were staying with Lot. It says that the angels smote the men of the town of Sodom with blindness. It's so that it says that they wearied themselves to find the door. I mean, they were about to knock the door down to come and have relations with these men, these angels that came to Lot's house. And so, so in some way, when that vial's poured out, probably the sky goes dark, but it could be that, you know, people just go blind, that this kingdom of the, they could be, because it does say in Luke that that's how it's going to be then, the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So, anyway, any other thoughts about this fifth vial? It's pretty wild stuff, I know.
Following up on what you said, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the God of this world hath blinded the minds.
Yes.
That we
yes.
See the light of the glorious gospel and believe.
Yep. So yeah, the lost are. I was blind before I was saved, right? And you all were too. What are you thinking, Belinda?
So a lot of people, first thing in the morning, they get up and they get on Facebook or they do this or do that. They're not reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So their God is right here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there's the limits of the light, which will, so as you get older, it will affect your eyes and you'll be able to see.
Amen. That's good thoughts, Belinda, for sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I've been sitting back here thinking, you know, the pouring out the vial and they're plunged into darkness, all this going on. If we could just think about how we were affected by COVID, like it makes all this feel more real. I can see how you know, the vial was poured out and how it affected the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was kind of a sample of things to come, wasn't it?
It's,
yeah, because you think of vials as like scientists in a lab, in their vials, they have their little diseases.
Yeah, it's all contained, and you don't want it poured out. Yeah, we have biohazard drums, and people put, you have to, we have a company that disposes of all our hazardous waste and all those things. Well, this this sixth vial, I thought we would end with that today. We've still got a good 20 minutes. It says the sixth vial is poured out on the great river Euphrates to dry it up. And so somebody read verse 12 if they would for us.
And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared.
And some people believe this verse from Jeremiah at the bottom of your handout. Jeremiah 50 verse 38 says, "A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols." So it's at the bottom of your front page of your handout. And so some people think that's a reference to this Euphrates drying up. And I've got just a, there's been a lot actually in the news, or you've probably seen it, about the, this is kind of a before and after of the river Euphrates. And I didn't put it on my handout, but you'll be interested to know that this is pretty wild. I think it's pretty wild. The Euphrates River starts in Turkey, pretty much at the base of Mount Ararat, where the Noah's Ark landed. That's pretty wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's about an 1,800 mile river going into the Persian Gulf, but I don't know if I got the dates of this, but you know, this top image is the before picture. So, you know, this was 10 or 20 years ago how the Euphrates River looked. And you can see it's really dried up a lot. And I'll give you the punchline. I think I did put this on your handout, but it flows through Babylon, and the Iraqi, I'll just read. So turn your page over. My teaching point there: Iraq's Ministry of Water recently said that the Euphrates River could vanish in the next 3 years. So Iraq, and you know, it's like Jim said, a lot of things on the internet are not true. So maybe that's not true, but that's interesting that in the next 3 years the Euphrates River could dry up, vanish, it says. So now back to the top of your back page of your handout. Jeremiah's prophecy could refer to Cyrus the Persian and Darius the Median diverting the Euphrates River to allow the army to enter Babylon under the city walls and capture the city. And so that happened in Daniel chapter 5. I think it's Belshazzar, a relative of Nebuchadnezzar. He lost the kingdom through no war, but the Persians come under the, they diverted the Euphrates River, and they were able to go under the wall and conquer the city without a battle. So that's pretty wild. And the Euphrates River is one of four rivers that are in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 2. The Euphrates River, it formed the northeastern boundary of the Promised Land. Genesis 15:18 says that. And then I thought this was interesting. The Euphrates River is also the common line between the east and the west. You know, we consider China to be the east, right? And, you know, like Israel's considered to be the Middle East. And like Jim was saying earlier, like Europe and America is the west. And so they think of, so that's kind of interesting that the river dividing the east and the west would be dried up. That's what we're saying. And this sixth angel, in Revelation 9, releases four angels that were bound in the Euphrates River that slay a third part of the men. It predicts a 200 million man army on horses. And this was something I heard this week as well. The kings of the east that Belinda read, China, I think, now has close to 350 million people in their army. And, you know, could it be that 200 million of them go to Armageddon and 150 million stay and help protect China? So all these are definitely food for thought. So a lot going on here in this sixth vial that's poured out. But let's read these 13 through 16, and that's where we'll end at today. Revelation 16, verses 13 through 16, if somebody can read those.
All their unclean spirits, like frogs, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. 15 also?
Yeah, all the way through 16.
Okay. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that washeth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they say his shame, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, so as this sixth vial was poured out and the Euphrates River dries up, it talks about these three frog-like, it calls them unclean spirits. I'm going to talk about that a little bit next week. Maybe that's how we'll finish after we play the video on Iran. But it says these unclean spirits are like frogs. So that's what this picture kind of detects. It's got the dragon. It's got the false prophet and the beast. And it's got these frog-like spirits coming out of its mouth. And that translation calls them demonic spirits. So that's quite a visual there, that all this happens as this river's dried up. And it's interesting to note that frogs, according to Leviticus 11, are considered unclean animals. And so here they're unclean beasts. You know, they're part of the reptile family. And
spirits.
They're unclean spirits here. They're unclean animals in Leviticus 11. And here they're deceiving, and they catch prey with their tongue. You know, that's what frogs do. And I've killed frogs, and I've eaten frog legs, and I guess I liked them at the time. It kind of is gross now. They are good.
They taste
really
good.
Yeah. So it. Really? It's hard to kill them with the BB guns.
You put the light on them. You got the gig, and you got the flashlight. You hold the flashlight and get it right in their eyes, and they'll stay right there.
They just stay right there? Huh.
They call that poop.
I don't.
It's hard.
With raccoons, it is, but with frogs, it's probably they're not really a season on frogs. I don't think.
No.
There is.
Yes.
There's a frog season.
There's a limit.
Yeah,
really?
And I do think you'll pull that poaching if you use a flashlight.
Huh, okay. Well,
I don't think if it's your own pond or anything.
No. I opened up a can of frogs there, didn't I?
You sure did.
So these three frogs represent this dragon, the beast, the fault. Sometimes it's called the unholy Trinity, because God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are the holy Trinity. And I put the purpose of these spirits of devils is to gather the kings of the earth to battle. And it doesn't make sense to us now probably, but they're actually trying to fight against God. So so these unclean spirits are gathering the kings of the east, and they're allowed to cross the Euphrates River, just like, you know, God's people coming out of Egypt crossed the Red Sea on dry land, and they went through the Jordan River on dry land. Well, this demonic led army is coming across the Euphrates on dry ground. So all this is playing into prophecy and the end times. And then I wanted to talk about Armageddon a little bit. The place of the dragon, or these unclean spirits gather the kings together, is Armageddon. And you know, wait a minute, before I think I had a video about the Euphrates. Let me see if I can find it real quick. I started putting all my videos down here in my... Yeah. See if I can... see if it'll play. It's just a 3-minute video here. I'll start it again here just a minute.
Is dried up is because it's told to us in Bible prophecy written almost 2,000 years ago that the Euphrates River, reason why the Euphrates River is drying up, and no, it's not because it's being dammed upstream. Plenty of rivers all around the world are dammed up and they do not go dry downstream. But the reason this river is dried up is because it's told to us in Bible prophecy written almost 2,000 years ago that the Euphrates River would dry up. Revelation 16:12 tells us that the great river Euphrates will dry up to prevent prepare the way for the kings from the east. Revelation 9:13-19 tells us more about these details, that when the river is dried up, 200 million horsemen will be released, and these horsemen will release what's attributed to them as three plagues, and they will kill a third of mankind. The Bible doesn't say how this river will disappear.
I thought those pictures are really good.
It would disappear supernaturally overnight, like the parting of the Red Sea or some other supernatural event in the Bible. It looks like a precursor to the final stages of the book of Revelation that will unfold in the not too distant future. Here's the
So it's on a loop. It goes over. So I thought that was pretty good, having the video and the pictures and.
When was that first? When it was all the way up?
I think it was just 20 or 21. It's in the last 10 years. Yeah, it might have been 15. And actually, I thought it, one of them was different than the other. So, but yeah, so you can see that kind of that structure that was in the water there. Definitely the water level changed dramatically.
That's amazing. That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
No, no. Well, let's finish with Armageddon here. My teaching point, the word Armageddon, it means hill or city of Megiddo. And jump all the way down to the bottom. I got three quotes there. You know, people talk about, almost everybody's heard the word Armageddon, even though it's only one time in the Bible. And here's a quote from Theodore Roosevelt. We stand at Armageddon and we battle for the Lord. Theodore Roosevelt. The other quote, if we will not devise some greater and more equitable system, Armageddon will be at our door. And that was spoken by Douglas MacArthur at the end of World War II. And then this last quote's Ronald Reagan. He says, we may be the generation that sees Armageddon. So, that perks up all our ears, because that's the tree that sees the green fig leaf. Well, that generation, that's what Ronald Reagan's talking about. But even though Armageddon's in the Bible one time, just under your teaching point there, some form of Megiddo is in the Bible 12 times. That's what Armageddon means, city or hill of Megiddo. And in Revelation 16:16, so I got these are quotes from a dictionary. It's called like a Hebrew lexicon. In Revelation 16:16, the scene of the struggle of good and evil is suggested by the battle plain of Esdraelon, which was famous for two great victories of Barak over the Canaanites and of Gideon over the Midianites, and for two great disasters, the deaths of Saul and Josiah. Hence in Revelation, a place of great slaughter, the scene of a terrible retribution upon the wicked. The RSV translates the name as Har-Mageddon. In other words, the hill, or AR, is the city of Megiddo. And I got that from the Blue Letter Bible Lexicon. And then this next one, I got out of a study Bible. Megiddo is an entrance. Is at an entrance to a pass across the Carmel mountain range. Now, does anybody know what happened on Mount Carmel?
That's where Elijah called down rain and had it stop.
Yep, the prophets of Baal and Mount Carmel. And some of you know I went to Israel in 2019, and that was probably the most moving moment of my entire trip, was on Mount Carmel, because we stood where they believe that Elijah fought against the prophets of Baal. And and remember, he had his servant kind of go on the hill and look, and because there was like it, this was the end of a 3.5 year drought that happened then, and they built a concrete platform, probably a little bigger than this room, and you could stand up there, and on one side you see the Valley of Armageddon, and on a clear day you can see the Mediterranean. And so that's what Elijah's servant saw, was mist coming out of the Mediterranean like a person's hand and bringing rain. And anyway, it was chilling for me. And I stood there and wept, and you know, Luke come and hugged his dad. You know, Luke, my son, was with me, and it was just I was like, man, you know, you read about these things, and then you're there. It's like, you know, this happened. And the Israelites, they built a statue of Elijah calling down fire upon the sacrifice. And so anyway, that, you know, you read these things, and you know, I'll never forget Sam Miles. He was with us, and he preached this story to us. And, you know, right behind him is the little brook where they slayed the prophets of Baal. I mean, it was all right there. It was like, you know, this happened, and you know, it really became real to me. And then just a few miles up the road is where Mark Trotter stood with his back to the Valley of Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, and he's telling us about this story that we're reading right now. And he's looking out upon this Valley of Megiddo. It's they say it's 150 square miles. It's like 35 miles by 15 miles. So it's as far as you can see. And, you know, people talk about this valley, and we were right there, and Mark Trotter's preaching to us about the coming of the Lord. And it's just like, and you know, just 5 miles down the road is Mount Carmel, where Elijah was at. So all this is just, it's right there. So anyway, it says Megiddo is an entrance to a pass across the Carmel mountain range on the main highway between Asia and Africa. It has been a battlefield of many people throughout the ages. It has been rebuilt nearly 20 times. I think I put that in there. And then this Thelmes the Third, he's the founder of the old Egyptian Empire, said Megiddo is worth 1,000 cities. And then I put the word I had you put in your blank is just the word valley, and then we'll be done today. So Megiddo is kind of on the hill, and then there's a valley underneath of it, that this big valley, that this battlefield. So the Valley of Megiddo is where Israel fought and overcame Jabin and Syria and his armies in Judges 4 and 5. And I think this valley is also called the Valley of Jehoshaphat and the Valley of Decision in Joel chapter 3. And my last point there, and then we'll pray, is my teaching point is, don't miss the fact that if you have a red letter Bible, and does anybody have a red letter Bible? TJ, is verse 15 in red?
Yep.
It says in verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And so being in red, that is Jesus' words. He's coming as a thief. And so the people that are reading that need to be watchful.
Yeah, I noted, I looked through it. That's the first time he spoke since he talked to the churches at the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mine's a red letter Bible, but it doesn't have that verse.
It's not in red?
Really? It's everything in the gospel is in red.
We take it back and give you money.
Well, Pam gave it.
Have you got it? Is it NIV?
It's good, JV.
All right, I know. Let's pray, guys. It's good to laugh. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this lesson. Thank you for just the memories that I have of seeing these things that we're reading, and Lord, thinking about Armageddon and these vials being poured out, and just the ramifications of, you know, a river drying up and armies marching. And Lord, our news is filled with warfare right now. And so, Lord, we are kind of on the edge of our seats. We're got front row seats here to the end times, Lord. We don't know all that's contained here, but Lord, help us to meditate this week on these things. Help us to come back next week as we watch this video of Iran, and may it be edifying. Give us understanding and ears to hear and hearts to understand and feet to walk and serve you, and hands to minister to others. And so, Lord, bless this class. Bless anybody listening online. And thank you for each soul present. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.